We're talking, I guess you would say, food insecurity. Would that be right, Pastor?
That's correct.
Okay. I have Pastor Katie Joe, and we have Jay from the South Wedge Food Pantry?
Program.
Okay. All right. Now we got it all straight now. Now, let's talk about food insecurity and how the pandemic has just really amplified everything for you guys, right?
The pandemic changed a whole lot. We were a small neighborhood food pantry serving maybe 150 clients a month, and clients got to come in and shop with us and kind of pick their own food, which mm-hmm. is what we prefer. And then, of course, once the pandemic hit, then that all had to get canceled, and we switched to a delivery model because the buses were no longer safe for the majority of our clients, and food needs skyrocketed into thousands per month, not just hundreds per month.
How do you go from hundreds of people to thousands?
You pull out some of your hair first, and then right. once you've recovered from your bald spots, then our idea was that if people were off from work, they would volunteer to drive, and that turned out to be true. So we put out a call that said we need 20 or 30 volunteer drivers, and everybody who couldn't go into work showed up and loaded their car with boxes, and we got a computer sheet system that helped us to, you know, like take in the thousands of calls that we were getting, and then we organized it by zip codes and sent them out.
Wow. So now you're Pastor Katie Joe, so this originated with your church, I assume? Is that
so? The
is
South
that a
Wedge,
proper assumption?
Or? The South Wedge Food Program is supported by like five or six churches.
Oh, okay.
So it's a, and also some secular community groups as well. And we've shared space with Open Arms Church for the last few years. They give us a lot of volunteers. And so the church and the pantry have worked together to try to meet all of these needs that have cropped up and just been exacerbated by the pandemic.
And now, Jay, you are new to this whole, the food program?
I am, as of this month.
Really? Yep. What's your background? Where'd you...
Oh, goodness. I've had a background in leading environmental groups, environmental nonprofits. I was an executive director of Greenovation years ago. I did some work in social justice, that sort of thing.
Okay. All right. And now are you excited about, you're the executive director here now. And
yep.
But Katie Joe is keeping her hands in it, I understand.
I can't go away all the way, but I am very glad to hand it over to him because Jay has a lot of experience with bigger not-for-profits. And since I had all the experience with us as a tiny not-for-profit,
right.
now that we're huge, I'm very glad to hand it over to him, make him do all the hard work.
You have more experience with the bigger picture.
They seem to think so.
Well, that's what we're hoping for.
Sure.
So, now, I know there's been campaigns now here, your certain needs because of your growth. One of them has been a location.
Yeah. We got word that the church that we've been in for years has been bought, or at least there's an offer on it. So now it's up to us to figure out, okay, where do we go next? A lot of that has to do with community needs. We've been in the South Wedge for a long time, but we're seeing a lot of need all over the city. So really trying to meet people where they are. Also, just as a shop-through destination, we want to be kind of like a, not just a food program, but more of a grocery type organization.
Right.
So people can come in, they can shop. We can also meet them. Obviously, the needs for lack of transportation, they're not going anywhere. So we want to be able to do kind of our own little hybrid model here, and meet people where they are and also meet them out in the community.
So we're looking for places that are like storefronts that have good walkability, that are on a bus line, and places with enough thousands of square feet to house what we now do is about 2,000 deliveries a month. So we need a space with a little shopping area, and we say shopping, but everything's free,
mm-hmm.
you know, but a
right,
little choice
right.
area, and then also warehouse type space for all of these boxes as they get prepped, because each box has enough food for like 4 or 5 days from each food group and some bonus cakes and cookies that we get donated, and then we go out to all of the zip codes. So the nice thing is that we can have our new location in any zip code. We just haven't found it yet because
gotcha.
We serve all the zip codes.
So it doesn't necessarily have to stay in the South Wedge. Is that I mean, ideally you would probably want to stay there, but...
We really do love the neighborhood, but everything's expensive in the South Wedge. And so the reality is kind of that our budget, we've been priced out. We've been priced out of the South Wedge.
So basically, you're looking for a space. And what's the process been so far? I mean, have you been going with a realtor? I mean, how do you do that?
We have. We've been meeting with a realtor regularly. We have a couple of different property managers that have shown us some spaces, and we've got some good prospects. Nothing is a done deal yet.
Right.
We have maybe three different options that are solid maybes right now, but we're still out in the market looking.
And then the other thing you're looking for is a vehicle too, right? I mean, you need to, because you said, you know, the deliveries have grown so much.
That's correct. We have been doing it, thankfully, with all volunteers all pandemic long. But now that most people are back to work, we have fewer drivers to take these deliveries. And on a Saturday, we'll do 150 deliveries in 3 or 4 hours. And so our volunteers are awesome. They drive their own vehicles. They donate their time and their miles. They pull up, they get loaded their 4 or 5 boxes, and then they drive all over the city to families who don't have transportation to deliver them. There's just fewer folks now that they're back to work.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of, it's a lot of stress for 13 months to be driving your own vehicle. So a van would really help us on those 150 delivery days. If the last 20, we run out of volunteers, we can put them all in the van and then nobody has to wait. Because if we can't get a delivery on the day that it's scheduled, then the family has to wait 48 hours till the next. We deliver every other day.
Okay.
And there are some people who do not have enough food for 48 hours in their house. It's surprising for people in the middle class to hear that, but there's a lot of people who their food insecurity is so extreme that they literally have like a package of crackers and ketchup. And if they don't get their delivery on the day that we promise we can get it, they are eating crackers and ketchup for another 48 hours
until
we can get there.
They're just stretching it for 2 days, right? Here's a good question. Where's the food come from?
It comes from all over the place. We've got a great partner with FoodLink who supplies us with a lot of the essentials. But there are other churches. There's individuals that are bringing stuff to us. We have grocery stores around the area that bring in loads of product that is still good, hasn't been expired yet.
Didn't I just see, was there a ruling or a state law that just came out that they instead of like Wegmans throwing away perfectly good produce, but that it's not fit for what they consider on their shelves? Is this something like,
I'm not familiar.
Did I make this up?
I mean, I heard rumors of that. I don't actually know the details of that
law. If it's got a little bruise on it or something like that,
Right. We get a lot of
tomatoes,
ugly fruit kind of thing. We get still perfectly edible with one bruise.
Yeah.
And, and we, if we would eat it, then we give it out. That's our standard.
It's better than crackers and ketchup.
It's absolutely. Yeah. I'd take a bruised potato over some crackers and ketchup any day.
Sure.
That's for sure. And we do get, most of the stores try very hard to reduce their waste and to pass it on, and they pass us the food that is still consumable, and then they even pass the stuff that's not to like farmers to feed their pigs and that kind of thing.
Right.
But now it's becoming more of a legal precedent to say you can't just do your best and then throw out things at the end. Really have to give out everything that you can't sell to local organizations, because there's enough need for all of it and more. There's always more need than stores' extras could fill.
So what kind of numbers do you know what kind of numbers we're talking in Monroe County? I mean, is that you guys serve the city or do you serve the county, or how far and wide do you go?
Yeah, we will go to pretty much the whole county. A lot of our activity is centered around the city. That's where a lot of the need is. But you'd be surprised at how many people really just need an extra meal out there in the towns.
In the suburbs, food insecurity tends to be a little more hidden. But people don't tell their neighbors because they're embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
And they don't have as many food. They don't have as many food pantries in the suburbs.
Sure.
And
so
if you don't have a car and you live in Chilai, you are really stuck. And it's embarrassing to go to your neighbors. And so we try to cut down that embarrassment and the stigma around food insecurity and discreetly deliver, just like Instacart would, to anyone who needs it throughout the county. Rochester is fifth in Rochesterians like living in poverty. We're fifth in the country for people living in poverty.
In the country?
In the country.
Man,
and that's not a thing you want to win.
So we're number one in the state, right? Is that correct?
I think we're number one in the state and we're fifth in the country. And in other statistics that you don't want to be at the top of a list on, we're third in child poverty. So our child poverty rate in Rochester is terrible. It's just an amazing amount of kids who live in, you know, live in somewhat dangerous living conditions. Most of them are like sleeping on a floor, don't even have a bed kind of thing. And their parents are just getting by. But food stamps for, you know, if you're a single mom with three kids, almost everybody runs out week two of a month.
Sure, especially if you have growing kids.
Right.
You know,
you've seen how teenagers can eat.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Try to feed three grown boys, you know, like teenage boys on. Some people get like $16 a month in food stamps, you know, or they might
get. Where are you going with that?
Nowhere. And that's these limits that the government sets that they're like, oh, you can feed a family on that.
Yeah.
But most people run out. And the stats are, and we see this in our deliveries as well, is that the first week of the month, people are okay to shop with their food stamps. By the second week of the month, about 30% have totally used up their food stamps.
Right.
By the third week of the month, the vast majority of people are putting their last food stamp dollar to groceries. And by the fourth week, 95% are out. They have no money at all. And so they make it from the last Monday of the month to the last Sunday of the month on whatever they have in their house. It's a cycle that goes every month.
Mm-hmm.
You can never stock up because you're always a little bit behind.
Right. And it's not like they're joining, you know, the BJ's or anything like that where they can buy bulk too, right? I mean.
Exactly.
I mean, that's got to be prohibitive for a lot of people.
Yep.
Well, obviously, you guys need help. You need a new space. So any landlords out there, you got some space you want to donate,
correct.
Right?
We will take your warehouse.
But what can the average person do to help? I mean, what's the call of action here?
Well, there's a couple different things that they can do. We're always taking donations, whether it be money, whether it be time, or just food. If you've got a little bit extra, you've gone to the grocery store that week, pick up an extra couple cans of peanut butter or tuna, something like that, drop them off to us. We gladly take that stuff. And like I said, monetary donations go a long way.
Sure, sure. What if I just want something to do on Saturday mornings?
Absolutely. You can contact us. I don't know if we...
He's new.
I'm actually looking it up, too, because we just switched because...
Did you get a new URL or something?
Yeah, we're working on that right now.
We got a new URL, so give us... We'll have to edit this part out because I have to search for it on my computer.
We weren't changing so fast, this would be...
Sure.
Okay,
so you're going to go to southwedgefood.org. There you're going to find all the donation information if you wanted to bring something down. You can also contact us through the website and sign up for a time to either drive for us or hand out food at the front door. There's also work you can do calling people. You can work from home often with that. You can sort food in the warehouse. That's a huge thing.
We've got a lot of
different options for people at different abilities who might want to contribute just an hour or 10 hours a week.
Something to get out of the house, right?
Right, exactly.
And we try to make it easy so that there's not a lot of training ahead of time. We put you with another volunteer who knows what they're doing, and you just jump right in. So it's not like you have to pass any test or do any big training day. You can come in and serve that same day.
I don't have to do so many push-ups or anything?
No.
You might.
If you have muscles and would like to lift heavy boxes, we have the best workout program. Yeah, if you want to build your strength, by golly, we are better than a gym and we're free.
Right.
And you can come and lift cans all day
long. You're doing
long.
Something good for the community.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, you mentioned FoodLink before. Are you guys synchronized? Is that it? I mean,
FoodLink is the main pantry in the area.
Right.
So they're... and then there's member pantries, and most of the food pantries around...
Like Irondequoit Food Cupboard, is that one?
Yeah. Just about every food program that you would know about is a FoodLink member.
Okay.
And what that means is FoodLink is kind of like the Sam's Club or the BJ's, where if you have a membership as a pantry, you get the food from them for free or just for the handling cost like a very low cost. And so we order probably 90% of our food, maybe 80% of our food from Foodlink for just the little bit of cost that it takes them to handle it. So they're the regional source, and they take in deliveries in the hundreds of thousands of pounds and distribute them every week to all of their member pantries. There's over 50 member pantries in Monroe County. And we also get donations from other places, but the majority is from Foodlink because that's what it's organized to do. And so they're the distribution hub, but we are we're the arm that actually gets it to the clients.
Gotcha.
And the unique thing about South Wedge Food Program is because of the pandemics, there's so much need for delivery. We're one of only three pantries that delivers.
Gotcha.
In the whole county.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time. Here's your last opportunity just to let everybody know how to get a hold of you and just tell them a little bit, you know, why they should help maybe.
Sure. Best way to do that is southwedgefood.org. You can donate money, time, or product. We're always taking food donations, and we especially need help right now because we're both looking for a new home and a new van for deliveries. We really appreciate anything you can offer us.
We also want to let people know that there's no shame in needing food.
Right.
Many people find themselves in a place after this pandemic that they've never been before, and they don't have to be embarrassed. They can email us, they can fill out our online form, they can call us and get a discreet delivery of food or come pick up food, and they don't have to prove that they need it. We believe people. If you've overcome the stigma to say, I need help, then we're proud that you did that, and we will provide you with food. And if you need to pick up food for a neighbor who's maybe too embarrassed to do it themselves, great. We encourage you to do that. We empower the community.
Could somebody, if they think somebody's really in need next door or something like that, reach out and be discreet about it?
If you know, let's say you've got an elderly neighbor who you are pretty sure is like eating her cat's food, you could spend your own money to go and get a box of food.
Sure, but if you can't afford it, maybe even.
You don't have to.
Right.
We already have a box of food.
If you're just getting by.
Because we buy in bulk, our cost for 5 days worth of food, like a 50-pound box of groceries, is about $6.
Wow.
So for our $6, we are glad for you to deliver that to your neighbor and help them out, or to take it 1 month when you need it.
Jay Rowe, Pastor Katie Joe, thank you for coming in. Once again, the website is?
Southwedgefood.org.
Very good. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks.